Good morning, New Mexico. Welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting live from the Santa Fe Baking Company, streaming on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org, thanks to Dotfoil Computer Services, and we are at facebook.com/radiocafe, where you can friend us and leave messages and comments anytime you want. So, it is the second day of the KSFR 1 week and 1 week only fund drive, and we are encouraging everybody to call 505-428-1393. And this hour, and only this hour, until exactly 9 o'clock, we are having a special program called Cats versus Dogs, Which is Better? I would like now to introduce special cat advocates Ben Swan, who is a regular on this program, and Sarah Baldwin, who is a cat rescuer. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte.
And Bill Hutchison is with us. He is with the Santa Fe Animal Shelter, and he is our other special dog advocate, along with yours truly. Welcome.
Good morning, Mary Charlotte. How are you?
Fine, thanks. How are you?
You look lovely this morning.
Lies will get you nowhere, but thanks. So let's see. Why don't we start with cats? Oh, by the way, let's tell our listeners how this works. It's just like democracy. Every dollar buys one vote. So if you make a pledge to KSFR in the say the amount of $100 for cats, then cats get 100 votes. And if you do for dogs, same thing. The phones seem to be ringing already. So we're going to see whether you listeners to KSFR think cats or dogs are better.
And lest we deny the fact that many of us are torn in our love of dogs and cats, if you pledge that $100, you can split that. Some of your votes can go to dogs and some can go to cats.
That's right. You can split it 50-50. We've had people do that because they own cats and dogs.
You can split it 99-1 in favor of dogs, for example.
That's another example.
But you just don't have to put it all in one place. We understand it's an animal town.
Now, dog people being so generous of heart, why don't we start with the cat people? Why do you think, Ben and Sarah,
Go ahead, Sarah, cats are better than dogs?
Why
are cats so much better than dogs? And first, I should like to say that, you know, if you're thinking about, oh, I don't know, cats or dogs, you should really consider cats, because cats are so quiet that, unlike dogs, who don't insist on your attention, that cats are just there waiting for you. And so I think that cats should automatically be given an extra few dollars just because of their patience.
That's right. And they never caterwaul.
That was a catastrophic joke.
Don't be so dogmatic.
Oh, no. I think we've used up all our puns already.
Oh, no.
Except for the doggerel one. But anyway, so why are cats better than dogs, Sarah?
Well, I love all animals, including dogs. Dogs are easily engaged, delightfully playful, slavishly devoted, exuberant, and loyal. But and so if you want a cat who will constant, excuse me, if you want an animal who will constantly remind you of how great you are, get a dog.
Exactly.
But if you want an animal who responds in a very particular way to you, who has a nervous system nearly as complex and sensitive as your own, get a cat. With a cat, you're with a spiritual equal. Sometimes that means you may not get exactly what you want when you want it, but you have to respect them for that. And a less flattering way of saying this is dogs are for narcissists, cats are for neurotics.
Oh, that's very good. That's good. Although somebody wrote me, I don't know if you know this, but I did a little contest on my column called Off Leash.
Yes, he has a column in the Santa Fe New Mexican, ladies and gentlemen.
In the last few weeks, I've been urging people to tell me why they think cats are better. And last week, I opened it up to why dogs are better than cats. But, of course, they were too busy walking their dogs, I guess. I didn't get many responses. But I did. Melanie Brown did say something that I thought was very good. She said, cats rule, dogs drool. But I have to go along with Sarah about the idea of why cats are better than dogs, in that dogs can teach you a lot about your behavior, because you're always encouraging them to have a better behavior and they're watching you and doing it. But cats are more, as you said, on a spiritual level. So if you want to know more about your soul, about your spirit, then consider cats.
428-1393. Cast your vote. Cats versus dogs. Which is better? Vote with your pocketbook. 428-1393. What about you, Bill?
You know, I was thinking, off the subject a little bit, but true story, I have a cat that drools. And he,
so much for the bumper sticker.
And many of my dogs were very cat-like.
Yeah.
Though he weighs three times as much as the dog, he also, unfortunately, does not rule. The little dog rules the house, and the cat, who is a little challenged in a variety of ways, does tend to drool a bit when he's purring or drinking or walking or sleeping, also sometimes eating and laying down.
The exception proves the rule.
Perhaps. I found this lovely excerpt, Mary Charlotte, from a letter by Emily Dickinson that I wanted to share with you. You ask of my companions, hills, sir, and the sundown, and a dog as large as myself that my father bought me. They are better than human beings, because they know but do not tell. And I think if someone like Emily Dickinson, dear secret-hearted poet of her age, could find a companion that really could meet that deep spiritual longing that she had in a canine, and I, as much as I hate to say it, as much as I hate to try and take anything away from the cat people, recognizing as I do their right to have their feline beliefs, there is a spiritual fulfillment that comes from having a dog and having that companionship and knowing that whatever secrets you whisper into its ear, it will keep for you forever. A cat will sell you out in a hot second.
How do you know that your dog isn't telling all the other dogs?
Frankly,
do you speak
because
dog?
We know that dogs probably don't have any idea of what you said to them, but I don't really feel like I want to share that on the air because that might undermine our argument about the superiority of the canine.
Well, and I have to say, there was an article in the New York Times where a border collie had been taught over 1,200 distinct words that he could differentiate. The cats know maybe, what do cats know? Come?
Cats know come.
Cats do not know come.
No, they don't know come.
No, I don't think they care.
Ah, the first tally is in. We have 155 votes for dogs and 20 votes for cats.
Ouch. Ooh, come on, feline friends. Let's get together. And
we appreciate that token of generosity for the cat so they don't have to feel too badly.
But I want to jump into what Bill was talking about, dogs.
Wait, let me give the number. 428-1393 428-1393. That's in the 505. And if you're calling from out of area and you don't want to make a long distance call, if there still is such a thing, the number is 866-907-5737.
So I was just going to say, how can you say that dogs don't tell when we have Lassie, who tells everything?
I hate to concede your point, Mr. Swan, but it is well made.
But you know what's wrong with dogs like Lassie? I have many stories of which I will read only two to seven about dogs who saved lives. And there was a dog named Honey who saved her owner from a violent car accident. Their SUV rolled over and was stuck upside down in a deep ravine. Honey was the only hope, and with all his strength, the driver managed to release the dog and hoped that she would somehow find help. Sure enough, the five-month-old, only it was just a puppy, Cocker Spaniel, got the attention of a man about a half mile away, brought him to the scene of the accident, and if it had not been for this, the driver would have died.
I was kind of hoping the dog would have flipped the car back over. I thought that's where this story was going.
Well, a Rottweiler could have done that, but a five-month-old Cocker Spaniel?
Yeah, probably.
Wonder dogs. Small. You know, they can do all kinds of things. Well, you're talking, you know, a little bit different than a companion, somebody who is there for you. I mean, certainly, we can talk about dog saving things.
Yeah.
But as for cats, there are many reasons why cats just are there for you.
Exactly. I mean... No one's going to argue that a cat has more practical purposes than a dog, although they do indeed catch mice and rats if you have that problem, but that's not their primary virtue. In fact, cats would probably say that humans make very useful domestic animals.
Good
point. Rather than the
you
other way
want
around.
So maybe cats are for people who actually have the desire to be a submissive pet.
I don't think it's quite like that. No.
Well played, Damani. Well played.
You guys are too clever for us so early in the morning.
505-428-1393. Cast your vote. Cats versus dogs. Which is better?
One of the things that has always made me a bit sad on behalf of cats, and I don't know that I would necessarily offer this as evidence for the superiority of the canine, but cats are unable to taste sweet things. Dogs can taste sweet. Cats can't taste sweet. True
fact. Is that true?
It really is. I'm given to a lot of lies, but I promised Mary Charlotte I wouldn't tell any lies until the second half hour of the show. So you can guarantee that's fact. And that just seems like it leaves a giant hole in the life of a cat. As somebody who loves ice cream and pastries with chocolate in them, and cinnamon rolls.
But do you think dogs really enjoy what they eat? They eat it
so quickly.
Oh my God.
Do they enjoy what they eat?
Do they taste it? Do they have taste buds that can really distinguish between sugars?
No, it's like ice cream. Poop. Ice cream. Poop. It's equally good.
I appreciate that sort of democratic approach to culinary preferences.
That's right. They can go to the compound or they can go to Denny's. It's all good.
That's right. Appreciators of both high and low culture.
That's what dogs are. Now, I would like to take issue with the spiritual aspect. Mm-hmm. You're saying it, you're asserting it, but I don't see any evidence or proof that cats are more spiritual than dogs. I think dogs embody a kind of loving kindness and compassion and compassionate action and service that are the essence of spirituality.
Well, it's an essence of one type of spirituality. I think it comes down to temperament. You know, if you're somebody who likes the exuberant, noisy energy of the group, then the dogs are good for you. If you're someone who's more reflective and appreciate sort of individual idiosyncrasy, then maybe the cats are better for you. They're both spiritual, but in different ways. It's true that many artists and writers, Emily Dickinson excepted. I did not know that about Emily Dickinson.
I bet she had cats as well. I'm sure she did.
She seems like, you know, the apotheosis of the cat person.
Exactly. With a little bun and a cat in her hand, lap.
Let it be said that nobody has ever accused anybody of being a crazy dog lady.
Well,
wait a minute. What's that?
I was accused of that just 2 days
ago.
Yeah,
I know some crazy dog ladies.
But, and it was because I was thinking of adopting a fourth dog named Minnie, which I then did not do, and poor Minnie passed away. But that's another story. Hey, we got 30 more votes. Let's see. We've got 60 votes for cats. So they're catching
up
a little bit. Cats versus dogs, which is better? 428-1393.
We'll be waiting. The cat people will be waiting at the very end, of course.
To pounce.
Because, yes.
Hiding in the long grass. There are some really lovely stories, both in literature and in true stories, of dogs being really loyal. All the way back to the Odyssey, there was Argus, the name of Odysseus's dog, who, when he comes back from his very long voyage home and disembarks his ship and walks up in the disguise of the old man, his dog is the only one who recognizes him.
Yep.
And I've always enjoyed that story because it you realize that that they know us. They genuinely know us. And I often feel, though I love my cat, and though he is definitely attuned to my emotional moods, I think he is more concerned with whether I know him. And I think of that when we talk about the spiritual nature of cats, that many times on this episode over the years we've seen people use as the evidence of cat superiority that they were worshipped in Egypt. And yet I think that is the distance between them and us, that I don't want to be separated from the divine. I want to be part of it. And with the dog, I feel that united to it.
Well, I actually feel the same way with my cat. My cats, I should say. Over the years, I've had many. My husband and I have three now. I feel very much that they know us. In fact, that's part of what I would say, that dogs, my sense of dogs, great as they are, is that they love a lot of people. And cats are very particular. You don't just earn their affections immediately. And they respond very individually. They'll have someone come into our house, and they'll just sort of completely ignore that person. And someone else, who they don't know, they'll just gravitate towards. It's like they have a sense of
prejudice.
Well, dogs do the same thing in a lot of ways.
We're human beings, and don't we have prejudices? Don't we? See, do you want an animal who is sort of in tune with you the way your nervous system works, or an animal who's just going to be, yeah, I love everybody?
The second one.
Bill, you're not so shallow. Oh, sorry.
Got to give the number, 428-1393. Cats versus dogs, which is better? Cast your vote. There are some telephones free, I think, at the station. We're here in the Santa Fe Baking Company. You can also come in and cast your vote. If you happen to be driving along Cordova Road and you want to come in and make a contribution in the amount of, for example, $500 for dogs. Or
$1,000 for cats.
Right, something along those lines.
And you can also bring in your suggestions about why cats and dogs are better.
That's true. You can hand us a piece of paper. 428-1393. So I would like to unpack what you said, Ms. Baldwin. the question of whether dogs love everybody, that is individual to the dogs. There are some dogs who do love everybody and whoever comes into the
sure.
house, and they tend to be golden retrievers. then there are dogs who are really one-man dogs or one-woman dogs,
true.
And they will greet you politely if their masters say that that's okay, but they won't fall in love with you right away. You have to earn their love and respect, and that points to a fact about dogs, which is that there is a great variety in personality, temperament, size, and ability among dogs, which is much greater than that of cats.
Actually, I would disagree with that well. I mean, certainly size, but I mean, is that going to be a priority? I mean, if you really want a huge dog, get a huge dog.
Does size matter?
But they also have huge cats as well.
They have, yes, but the size, they got us on the size issue. You know, you can get a really big dog, or you can get a, you know, Great Dane or Chihuahua, but cat range is much smaller. But cat personalities are just as wide. I mean, we have, within our three cats at home, one cat who is so nervous she will never leave the house. She is a little Emily Dickinson. That's what we like to call her. She's also incredibly vocal. She has a great vocabulary. You know, she makes, I mean, so many sounds, depending on her mood. But very sort of strange and introverted. Then we have another cat who is more like a dog, and she will greet everyone who comes into the house. We know she loves us most of all, but she's very, very, very friendly and very loving and very purry and very, you know. So there's a cat out there to suit every temperament.
And every need.
I think that the reason that cats, we keep them down to a certain size is because we recognize that unlike dogs who will love us, whether Chihuahua or Great Dane,
yeah.
whether Mastiff or Miniature Dachshund, if we had cats that size, they would absolutely and without hesitation kill us. I have heard it said that John Steinbeck named his book Of Mice and Men because he knew that those were the two creatures against whom cats had the greatest number of homicidal tendencies. And it is sheerly out of a sense of self-preservation that we have kept cats so small. Indeed, there are larger cats. We call them lions and tigers, and we like them to be far away from us because they will tear us into tiny bits and drag us into the jungle.
Yeah, I think you have a point there.
Thanks, Mary Charlotte. I appreciate your support.
428-1393. Cats versus dogs, which is better? I'm not getting a report from the control room, so we're going to have to...
Can I tell you?
Yes. Report from the control room with Mary Lynn LeBlanc.
I've got lots of comments from the cats and dogs, too, so it's been really busy here. Okay, dogs are still in the lead with 276 votes to 141. However... one cat, Tano, whose companion is Freya, thank her for her donation there.
Thank you.
But she said that the reason that the dogs are leading is because dogs wake you up to get you to get up and take them outside in this cold weather, whereas cats are still sleeping in bed.
23 hours out of every 24.
I knew a cat. I took care of a cat named Baby who, I swear, slept 23 and a half hours a day. But, you know, Freya and others, thank you for your contributions and your votes. But, you know, there is such a thing as a dog door, and you can have those installed very inexpensively, and then the dogs will just take themselves out.
And they also have cat doors.
They have cat doors, too.
And but, we have...
Yes, go ahead.
Oh, yes, and we have some more to thank. We have dogs Yeller, Lily, Angel, Cookie, Shorty, who's an alumni of 09, I guess, has been there.
Okay.
And those are some dogs and cats. Amy, I think it's Meowski, and I mentioned
no.
Tom.
That's a great name.
And then there's Jay Oliver and his cat, or her cat, Tosca.
Oh, yay. Thank you, JR. Very good.
And we also had Claire Crane, who quoted T.S. Eliot. Again, I must remind you that a dog's a dog, a cat's a cat. And then earlier, we do need
that
to thank...
That says it all.
We do need to thank Ambassador Joe and Valerie Plame Wilson as well.
Thank you, guys.
Yay, thank you. Thanks to all of
That's
you.
It for now.
428-1393, or from out of area, 866-907-5737. Toll free, 866-907-KSFR.
So, Mary Charlotte, may I share a couple of stories for you? These are very dear stories to me. I always, you know, I think the slavish loyalty that dogs are so often derided for, there's a certain warmth to that. I think we all desire to be loved. We want companionship. We want to believe that someone knows us for who we are with all of our foibles and still cares about us. And I'm often touched by these stories of graveside dogs, like Bobby, the famous Skye Terrier. In 1858, his master died and was buried in Edinburgh. For 14 years, every day until that dog died, he slept by his master's grave, knowing precisely where he was. The University of Tokyo professor, Hirasaburo Ueno, in 1924, he died. Every day for the next 9 years, his dog went to the train station where his master would get off the train and wait for him to come home. And then when, after a few hours, his master did not get off the train, the dog would just walk home, and did this daily until his death.
Hello, didn't he have a clue?
And then I think of the picture that I showed you, Mary Charlotte, of the very sweet dog in Brazil, who after just last month during the mudslides and flooding, after his mistress died, he went and slept by her grave in this large, very sad graveyard every day. And did I show you that picture?
Yes, you did.
And did you see that person's cat laying next to the dog? Exactly, Mary Charlotte. You did not see the cat laying
because
next
the cat
to the dog.
Was living its own life.
quickly understanding. Forgetting. Yeah. No, quickly understanding and accepting and moving on.
Yeah, exactly.
It may be true.
No, those are very touching stories, Bill. Thank you very much.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, the moment that you are cold in the grave, your cat will find a new love.
And that is not true. He will eat you without a second thought.
428-1393. Make your vote cast. Cats or dogs? Now, I was thinking, you know, working dogs are working animals. They're bred to be working animals, and they're descended from gray wolves. They're genetically virtually identical to gray wolves. But what kind of work do they do? Well, it turns out that, I mean, everybody knows about service dogs, assistance dogs, seeing eye dogs, rescue dogs, searching dogs, herding dogs, sled dogs. Okay, we know about these.
I'm
but have you ever heard of a...
Yeah. Listening to that list.
I know, it's not even over yet, but have you ever heard of a turnspit dog?
What does that dog do?
Turnspit dogs were used
they
as a source...
They worked at Boston Rotisserie?
They were used as... They were used as a source of power. They turned a treadmill connected to a roasting spit. Similar arrangements were used for household duties such as churning butter. Now, if you had to churn butter and you could get a dog to do it, that'd be so awesome.
Yes, yes.
This is a terrible story,
that's
Mary Charlotte.
Complete abuse.
And cats would completely, you know, sneer at the concept of doing any of those things.
They would link together, form super cat, and slaughter the whole family that had put them in such a position.
Oh, right.
I don't they see would be cats like as your, being so violent.
They would be like your lazy brother-in-law who said, you do it while I drink beer.
No, this is what cats are louche bastards, as a friend of mine once said. But... You see, they sit around, they sleep, they groom themselves and each other, they bestow affection when they want to, and, you know, they look at birds, they chase toys, they get high on catnip. They are louche bastards. High moralists are not necessarily going to like cats.
They're like the French aristocracy, and we know how that turned out.
But there are those among us who don't think that everything we have around us should serve a purpose. They're just there for their own sakes. They're beautiful. They're...
I guess they're like art. They're a piece of art that you can't really... Why not?
No,
you can worship them.
No, there's something that you can connect to deeply that you have a sort of...
They're on that spiritual level.
On that spiritual, mysterious level, there's something real going on with cats. I mean...
They're lilies in the field.
But they ain't going to be churning butter, no.
That's right. But what if you need your butter churned because you're too weak to churn your own butter, but you need your butter? The dog will do it. They will also detect termites, illegal substances. They will detect chemicals. There's a dog of the year award. And this dog won dog of the year because carbon monoxide, which is really undetectable by human beings, there was a carbon monoxide leak. The dog detected it and barked, woke up everybody in the house and dragged them outside the house and saved their lives. Everybody would have been dead.
It's right. A little known fact that dogs can also detect sarcasm, irony, and bad puns.
No, cats can do that.
That's, you know, one of my favorite life-saving stories about dogs, Mary Charlotte, is Maxwell, who was a Boston Terrier in Pawtucket, New Jersey. And Maxwell, you know, you've heard of these dogs.
Pawtucket, New Jersey?
Yeah, that's
true. Absolute place. Look
not
it up
Pawtucket,
on
Massachusetts.
Nope,
okay.
Pawtucket, New Jersey. And you've heard of these dogs that can smell cancer. Maxwell was barking at his master nonstop for many, many days. And finally, concerned about this and having read about dogs being able to detect epileptic seizures or cancer, etc., went to the doctor. And after a number of tests, it was discovered that Maxwell's owner had a kidney that was failing. And so the doctors were very concerned about this. True story. Absolutely. 100% true story. So Maxwell, it turned out, was a match for the kidney. And offered to donate up
that's bull.
His kidney. No, this is 100% true story. And to make it even sort of more wonderful,
and then the cat ate the kidney.
Because it was such an unusual surgery to transplant a kidney from a dog into a human, it was Maxwell himself who underwent the rigorous and groundbreaking training to transplant his own kidney into his owner. Said owner still lives today and has Maxwell. Each has one kidney. And Maxwell is teaching this procedure currently at Johns Hopkins. You can look this up on the internet. It's absolutely true.
428-1393. 428-1393. And I think the first part of that was true. Hey, cats are catching up.
Yay.
They're within 5 votes. It's 286 to 281.
Yay, cat people.
I know. This always
so
happens. The cat people, they're kind of slow. But they start to catch up. And then it's anybody's guess. Dog people, get to your phone.
No, cat people, please keep going.
And dial the following numbers, 428-1393, 428-1393. Okay, here's a story that cannot be beaten. This is a true story.
Is this a true story or a true story?
This is a factual story that, I mean, you can look it up. So basically, there was a dog named Belle, who was a beagle, who bit 911 into Kevin Weaver's, his owner's, cell phone after the dive.
Bit?
It's true. Yeah, he bit. After the diabetic man collapsed from a seizure, Weaver said, "There's no doubt in my mind that I'd be dead if I didn't have Belle," who became the first canine to win Vita's Wireless Samaritan Award. The pooch had been trained to bite down on the keypad in the event of an emergency.
See, now that's an insane person who trains their dog to do that.
What do you mean? It's a self-preserving person.
A cat would order pizza and pay-per-view and call it a day.
That's what my dog Honey used to do.
See, okay, I'm going to be a little here. Please jump in, Sarah. I think people who spend a lot of time worrying about, you know, dire emergencies and their dogs needing to come to their rescue, you know, it's a little bit different from the cat person who knows that things are inevitable, problems occur, you know, they're not paranoid kinds of people. I hate to say it, but
Mr. Sort of the I believe that between the feline fatalist and the canine free will.
I believe that Mr. Weaver and his dog Belle were excellent Boy Scouts who lived by the motto "Be prepared."
Okay.
And since Mr. Weaver was diabetic and he knew that such things could happen, he was prepared.
He wanted to live.
He wanted to live. 428-1393.
I think we're missing one aspect of that is, did anybody ask the dogs if they wanted to be trained to bite into the phone? Did anybody ask the dogs if they want to, I don't know, guide
people
around?
Dogs love to work. That's one of the things about dogs. In fact, I have 3 dogs who are all bred for work of various kinds, and 2 of them especially, the 2 Jack Russell Terriers, they go crazy if they don't have a job. They really need a job.
And that can be a problem if you're not someone who likes a lot of noise and a lot of exuberant, chaotic energy around you all the time.
That's only if you have a trombone hound.
Well, you shouldn't get a Jack Russell Terrier if you want a quiet, mellow dog. That's true.
Cats are animals. I think people who are drawn to cats are people who sort of like things that are elusive and ambiguous. They're people who are comfortable with ambiguity. The cat embodies that to me. Whereas dogs, it seems like people who like things to be clear and certain and who are preparing for their 911 call and things like that.
That's a very good point. I had that little conversation in my column about whether, you know, are dogs Republicans? Are cats Democrats? I don't know. It's kind of an interesting
I think that one could make a case that cats are libertarians and dogs are anarcho-syndicalists, but...
Mary Charlotte and I talked about this the other day and realized that keeping it down to the two-party system was sort of a flaw that our species had already made, and that cats and dogs really had worked this out by understanding the finer points and really narrowing things down. Yes, exactly.
Yes.
You know, I was thinking back to what you said, Sarah and Ben, about cats being sort of more in tune with, say, an artistic, thoughtful world. And I'm reminded, of course, of Plato, who said that a dog has the soul of a philosopher. And I think, really, when we talk about what it is to be a thinker or to understand this sort of abstract, this abstract way that we exist, it's a matter of truly, as the philosopher said, being in the world. It's not just detached thinking. It's fully realizing your existence and your thoughtfulness through action and work, and not simply detached contemplation, which, of course, is the sort of scholarly ineptitude that has distanced the academy from the real man. And it's the dog. It is the dog that embodies that both hardworking and hard-thinking spirit that helps us fully realize all that being in the world really entails.
And this from a guy who studied philosophy, who majored in philosophy?
Ben, you're outing me on the air.
428-1393, 428-1393, cats versus dogs, which is better? We're going to hear a little report from the control room.
Hey, we have several thanks. Ricky Mayhew, who one of you knows, I think, and is voting for dogs.
Yay!
And Alice V, well, these are some dogs. Alice V, they're two retired greyhounds. And again, Alice V and Cheyenne. And then here's a group of cats, Droop, Gary Cooper, Calamity Jane, and Leo broke out his piggy bank.
Oh, boy.
Oh, thank you very much.
And then there's a correction, you know, that Meowski one?
Yeah.
Well, that was really Ami and Modesty, two cats.
Oh, okay.
Thank you very much.
Well, I love Meowski. If anyone's looking to name their kids.
Meowski would be cute. And Chula. Chula, that's a dog.
Chulita. 428-1393, cats versus dogs, which is better? Now, here's one, another true story. I did not make this up. I could not make this up. When Peter Lee found himself about to be hijacked on his 41-foot yacht by armed pursuers, the dog, who according to his owner thinks he's a lion, leapt right into action, furiously attacking the gunman until one of them shot and stabbed the pooch between his shoulder blades. Amazingly, the dog was nursed back to health, and the family continued with their voyage.
Wow.
That's a terrible story.
Yeah. It is.
I love it. Mary Charlotte, come up with some more of those stories. We're going to go straight up.
No, dogs, I mean, dogs saves owners from pirates. I mean, send those dogs to Somalia.
Yes. Well, William Burroughs said, the cat does not offer services. The cat offers itself.
Oh, very good.
I don't know if perhaps having an unreliable, acquitted, wife-murdering, heroin addict on your side is necessarily the best person.
We have Montaigne, Edgar Allan Poe, Jean Cocteau, many others.
Started about the whole mystical aspect of cats, felines, and black cats, and how important they are in that the realm.
Mm. Go.
No, go ahead.
No, you.
Continue. Now, I wanted to jump in a little bit about some of what my readers said about in support of cats.
Oh, right. Yeah, you got a head start there.
A few of them. Well, you know, I'm the only one in my family who's ever had cats, but I don't currently have a cat because my partner is allergic to cats and my dogs are allergic to cats. But I do have a lot of cats around me all the time, which is always good to have that cat energy. But Barbara Weaver of she was just very, she's a very interesting person in that she said, you know, she's had cats, more than 80 cats over the years, and also dogs, and now they travel around a motorhome, and she said some of the things that she pointed out I thought were very interesting. That cats never eat your chickens. They will chase your baby chickens and ducks, but certainly not your full-grown poultry. They never steal your chicken eggs. They don't bring in eggs and break them on your carpet. But I quite assure you that a dog will do it if ever given a chance.
And a lot of very chicken-centric.
I love this.
Although I will say that cats will absolutely, without hesitation, eliminate the beautiful plumage and lovely tunes of all your songbirds.
Not all cats do that, actually.
Yeah. And
there are ways of
them.
Preventing
exactly.
that. And people should prevent that.
With bells around the neck?
With bells. And ideally, cats should not be let out of the house. I mean, you know.
Especially not here.
For their own safety and the safety of their wildlife.
Well, I would say that, look, dogs 336, cats 331. We're ahead by
Come
five.
Come on, felines.
428-1393. 428-1393, cats versus dogs, which is better. Well, I mean, one of the advantages is if you have, as I do and as many people do, a fenced yard, you can let your dogs out. And as long as the yard is fenced, they're not going to jump over the fence. They're not going to be eaten by coyotes. And they can go and enjoy the great outdoors, whereas cats will climb a tree, and you know there's no way to keep them without making them virtual prisoners in your house.
I would disagree about that. I mean, there are a lot of people who are very creative people who create these incredible cat condos that the cats go in and out of the house. They're just very protected from predators like dogs and other things like that.
Cat condos.
Yeah, I've done a couple stories on people who are very creative about using recycled goods to make sure their felines are safe and entertained.
Yeah, I wish I had thought to bring some information about that, but they're a great thing. We don't happen to have one, but I know that many people do. You put them on a window where they can, the cats have access to just going out and hanging out, and apparently
little tubes that go they can yep. sneak in and out of and things like that.
Yeah,
yeah, but that's a lot of work compared to installing a dog door.
Well, or compared to installing a yard, actually, with a wall around your yard. If you don't happen to have a wall around your yard, which not everybody does.
Good point.
So.
And my chihuahuas, we always have to watch out for the birds with the chihuahua when Olivia's out in the yard, because I'm always afraid some hawk will come down. And they do target cats as well.
Yeah, yeah.
I would like to tell you about Napoleon and Ginny.
Boy.
Napoleon. Was an English bulldog who defied the poor swimming skills of his breed to swim deep out into a lake and rescue a burlap sack containing 6 abandoned kittens.
Aww.
While 2 of the kittens didn't make it, the other 4 were nursed back to health, leading to a hero's welcome for Napoleon back at the local adoption center. And Ginny is a dog that had 300 cats who attended her memorial service, because she endangered herself on multiple occasions to save dying or stranded cats from peril. On one particularly remarkable occasion, Ginny threw herself against a vertical pipe at a construction site so that it would topple and the stranded cats inside could escape. Another time, Ginny suffered cuts on her paws to find an injured cat inside a box of broken glass.
The Oscar Schindler of dogs. That's amazing.
Yeah, I remember hearing about that story, actually. But this is the exception among dogs.
Yeah,
your dogs would tear my cats to shreds.
That's at least 2 of them would. That's a good point. But have there ever been any cats that saved dogs?
I don't know. I haven't researched that. But like I said, that's, not their job.
let me Google this here. Cats saving dogs. No, Google says no results found.
he did not do that. I do want to read a few more of these great, some of them are very simple, like, cats are a lot cleaner and things like that. But there's a couple of them are, a cat will naturally groom itself. They always love to stay clean. You don't have to pay a groomer to wash your cat. Cat is warm, soft, and quiet with a gentle purr. A cat can entertain itself by playing with anything from a string. A cat will calm your nerves because they are not as hyper as a dog. A cat will hiss at danger and its tail will expand. and a cat is naturally potty trained, which we haven't even, that's a whole subject that we haven't even
touched. But let me, I want to respond to the one you said about a cat will calm your nerves, because that is the one of the few purposes beyond just their own greatness that cats have been used for, is they've been used at nursing homes for people, not dogs. I guess some dogs maybe, if they're particularly calm dogs, but cats definitely. Nursing homes and hospitals for children, and just to help calm them and be companions. So.
I hate to put Ben on the spot, but as my colleague at the animal shelter as well, I'll ask him this because I seem to not have the information at hand. Ben, how many cats are in our pet therapy program that go into hospitals and schools and nursing homes?
Well, you know, that's the thing. It's like, I think there are very few. Could I say that?
I think you could.
The number approaching zero on the graph.
But perhaps. I don't see why cats couldn't be a part of the... Well, we'd have to change the name from breeding to rover to something else, like breeding to...
Oh, okay. Fluffy.
Robichon, the distinctive.
But why couldn't you? I mean, cats would pay attention to you if you had something interesting to read.
But dogs isn't. But this is the thing. Dogs reading with is that the same thing? Reading with Rover. They dogs read aloud to the
The kids read aloud.
Dogs read aloud to children.
That's right.
And they say things like through three cheese trees,
They do.
You know, I think dogs' favorite book to read is The Very Hungry Caterpillar, much like our former president.
Cats are in the lead by 20 votes.
Yay!
Dog people, step up. 428-1393, 428-1393.
I did actually Google cats saving dogs here, but the only result I found was in the freezer for later consumption.
See, now that's just mean.
I did Google it, and there, the only thing that I found was dogs who save cats. So, but
enough,
you know,
said.
Let's talk about migration and the importance of dogs in getting humans from one place to another. It is believed that the successful emigration across the Bering Strait would not have been possible without sled dogs.
I believe that. One of my favorite.
Have you ever heard of sled cougars?
Yes, but we're living in a different era now. We don't need services.
I'm just wondering about that fact. I mean, really? Did sled dogs go across the Bering Strait? Which, you know.
Yeah. Wikipedia, dude.
which is very reliable.
There's something very. There's something very deep, deeper even, I think, than, you know, and I do love my cat, and I don't mean to disparage the relationship.
That cat is not going to talk to you at
that
all.
My cat. Luckily, he can't tune in the radio, and he's like 1,900 miles away.
And you don't think he knows
away.
It? He intuits? That's the thing about cats. They intuit everything.
He's asleep right now, I'll guarantee it. That there's some, you know, it's all the way back to our prehistory. Dogs became domesticated, not sort of at the hands of humans, but in a sort of strange symbiotic relationship with early humans. That it was true story, 100% true. I'm not making this up, despite the fact that it's in the latter half hour of the show. That it was when we were sort of in our nascent stages of a species and they were wolves, that we just sort of started coming together and co-evolving and recognizing the mutual benefit of being partner species. And I agree that there's something to be said for our relationships with cats, but I think there's something so fundamental in our relationships with dogs that I hope our listeners will honor with their dollars, recognizing that we simply could not have gotten to where we are as a species. We could not have evolved into the poetic art making, culture building and destroying species that we are without the constant accompaniment of the human's best friend, the dog, which was natural. We could not simply have lived. So it's not as though we are separate species who found each other. We were necessary to each other. We were the yin to the dog's yang.
There's 428-1393, 428-1393, cats versus dogs. Which is better? Cats are in the lead by a couple of votes. And you know, somebody called and asked me if I wanted to reincarnate as a dog. To which I answer, I believe that my little dog, Milk, is a reincarnated human. He's a human who reincarnated as a dog, and I believe that he was an absolutely horrible womanizer who broke the hearts of many women, and he was reincarnated as an 18-pound young man without any testicles who could only gain love through the force of his persuasion rather than... But he couldn't break your heart.
Good story.
No, I think it's true.
But Sarah has something.
Well, all right. cats did also evolve in a symbiotic relationship with man. When we became agrarian, they started mousing for us. And I can't remember, I wish I had written this down, but they have new evidence of how far back that goes. And they sort of worked with these animals. They found that the kids were, you know, like the little kittens that they had, and then they sort of, and that they were ridding the their crops of various pests, and so they started developing a natural relationship. So it's not like it's just some weird thing. One day someone said, oh, let's take, you know, a lion and try to get it to be really, really small. You know, it evolved slowly over time.
And I would have to say, add to that, that the reason that that cats took a little bit longer to domesticate as opposed to dogs is because the cats first had to think about, is it worth it?
Yeah.
Do I really want to help these people out?
Yeah. So I guess they're kind of slow because they still did figure out, yes.
No. So, well.
428. No. You just meowed.
Yeah, she did. That was very good. And you guys have been growling the whole show.
Snarly.
428-1393. 428-1393. I hate to say it. Cats are ahead by 200 votes.
Yay. 200?
200.
I hate to hear it as much as you hate to say
but
it.
I do want to. I know we're kind of wrapping up, and I want to make sure that.
No, we've got a full 7 minutes left.
7 minutes
for dogs.
Well, I was going to read this whole poem.
In dog time, that's like 49 minutes.
Actually, you've got about 9 minutes.
Oh, okay. Cool. Okay. Well, I'll save the poem for last then. One of my readers wrote a poem about the dogs versus cats, kind of.
Oh.
Thing, and it's kind of sweet. So.
Well, I just want to say that they're more effective, more cute, and more fun than burglar alarms.
That's
dogs
true.
Or cats?
Dogs.
But do you want your alarm going off every time they hear like the slightest noise?
Or doorbell on TV?
Oh, yeah, exactly.
On my three dogs running.
Or a cat on TV.
Four dogs running back and forth looking for the door to open that nobody's there. It's on TV.
Well, they can't. It depends on your dog. I mean, I don't know.
Are you telling my dogs are stupid?
No.
Maybe so.
But you can. Some dogs are really better burglar alarms. A friend of mine had poodles are very misunderstood dogs. Everybody thinks they're just foofy, but they're really, really good protective dogs.
Supposedly the most intelligent canine out there.
That's what I've heard.
Along with border collies, who are pretty darn smart, which is they're probably all a bunch smarter than my little dachshund, whom I love more than anything, but he's not the very highest IQ dog in the house.
Not the first canine in Mensa. One of my favorite little dog poems is by Ogden Nash, which may undermine the contest, but that I think is darling. The truth, I do not stretch or shove when I state that the dog is full of love. I've also found, by actual test, a wet dog is the loving guest.
What?
It's so true. Nothing loves you more than a wet, muddy dog.
428-1393. Dog people, step it up. Cat people, if you really care, step it up too. But dog people, 428-1393, dogs versus cats, which is better? Okay, Ben, let's hear the poem.
Oh, this is from Beth McDonald. She's had dogs and cats, and since moving to Santa Fe, she's taken over some feral cats and had them spayed and neutered, which I encourage everyone to do and become more of a community cat. Anyway, she writes, "Goodness gracious, me oh my, dogs versus cats seems like a tie. Sunday morning, cat on a shelf, Monday evening, dog by himself. Tuesday comes without a bark, I'm dogless in Santa Fe when my dog goes dark. Wednesday, sadness grips my soul, 6 rescued ferals waiting for a bowl. Thursday reaps what Tuesday lost, 2 snuggle indoor cats asleep on my lap. Friday rises fast with the sun, Saturday's feeling still not done. Who's best is what's missing, who wins has already come."
Very sweet.
Very cute.
Thank you, Beth. That was a very nice poem.
Okay, here's another one that I have to read you. This is the 2001 Dog of the Year. An Australian blue heeler saved his owner, an 85-year-old woman named Ruth Gay, from an alligator attack behind her home. Ms. Gay had fallen while walking Blue. A nearby alligator lumbered over, threatened to attack.
I love
Mary Charlotte's
nearby alligator.
Yeah.
The nearby alligator.
She probably lived in alligator. Where would that be? Louisiana.
Florida.
And
Colorado, apparently.
Well, okay, ladies and gentlemen, if you've never been to Alamosa, Colorado, you must make a field trip, perhaps when the weather gets a little warmer or whenever, and go to the Colorado Gator Farm. It's the Alamosa Gator Farm. But anyway,
So what happened?
So Blue charged into action, sparred with the gator long enough to scare it away. Both Gay and Blue made full recoveries, and Blue was awarded with doggy treats, cash, and a specially engraved Dog Hero food bowl.
Which cash I'm sure he donated to a local shelter program, yes, knowing the benevolence that it is the dog.
428-1393. Some callers have been asking how much it costs for a vote. $1, one vote. It's just like democracy, or as we call it, dogmocracy.
Right. You know, Ogden Nash, besides his lovely little poem about dogs, does have a famous line about cats in which he says, "The trouble with a kitten is that eventually it becomes a cat." And while I do think that kittens are darling, there is a certain relevance to
his
claim.
But that's the thing about puppies and dogs, too. I mean, look at how darling a puppy is, and then it becomes, then it bites you.
I actually prefer adult cats to kittens. I mean, kittens are great, but adult cats have a certain gravitas that the kitten just can't muster. So, and I feel the same about puppies and older dogs. But
having recently been spending a lot of time with a puppy, I would say, unfortunately, dogs begin as puppies and kittens become cats. I enjoy adult dogs too, but I am finding less and less to enjoy, sadly, to admit, despite being a dog advocate, about puppies.
Well, the problem with puppies is that they will eat your remote, they will eat your shoes, they will eat your ballpoint pens, they will eat the legs of your...
They are noisy morons, but they do turn into lovely creatures
And they smell so good, that's why,
They do, and they're so cute. But, you know, the term Three Dog Night, which many people associate with some kind of 70s rock band, Three Dog Night is actually what you need. The origin of the term apparently is what you need to get through a cold night in the evolution of our species.
Yeah. Oh,
which despite having central heating, which I still use to my advantage, three dogs, two under the covers, one on the feet.
That's perfect. Yes. That is the real Three Dog Night.
I usually have four dogs wrapped around me.
So let me ask you guys, do you think that there's a difference in the temperament of the person who is drawn to one animal or the other? Because
well,
I do.
That's what they say.
Yeah.
I think there's so many. I would have dogs. I might have cats if I weren't allergic to them and if milk and honey wouldn't destroy them. Oh, my goodness. We've got a minute left.
Nope. That's right, Mary Charlotte. And Elena Zachary is looking forward to your becoming the fairy dog mother to her new puppy.
That's right. Elena Zachary is getting who's on the cover of the Pasa Tiempo this week, is getting a dog as yet unborn. A friend of hers' puppy is going to have a litter soon, and she's going to get the dog, and I'm apparently going to be the dog mother.
Nice.
Temperament.
All animals should
have.
But
it's time to go.
A human dog person.
428-1393. What's our final tally, Mary Lynn? Do we have a final tally?
So far, not quite, but so far, cats are like about 200 in the lead.
Wow. Do we concede?
I don't concede until it's over, and I have the chance to demand a recount.
That's
right.
Like a dog.
It's like the 2000 election.
No, yip into the sunset.
428-1393. Ben Swan writes a column for the Santa Fe New Mexican on animals, and he is with the Santa Fe Animal Shelter, as is Bill Hutchison. Both of them are regular animal people. Sarah Baldwin is a cat person, cat rescuer, and our special cat advocate. It's 9 o'clock. It's time to go. You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. Let's have a rematch next time.
We'll be here.
That was an election.
No, yip into the sunset.
428-1393. Ben Swan writes a column for the Santa Fe New Mexican on animals, and he is with the Santa Fe Animal Shelter, as is Bill Hutchison. Both of them are regular animal people. Sarah Baldwin is a cat person, cat rescuer, and our special cat advocate. It's 9 o'clock. It's time to go. You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. Let's have a rematch next time.
We'll be here.
It's been fun. Thank you, everyone.